Blog Talk Radio.
It is Sunday, April 3rd, 2016, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in America. My name is Grantham Taylor Hughes for my show, The Grantham Taylor Hughes Show, with my guest host each week, Gabriella Foster. Hi, Gabriella. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing quite well. Thank you. How about yourself?
That's great. I'm sorry. I interrupted you. And that's good for the first 20 seconds, so we get some laughs right away, correct?
That's correct. Somebody told me a joke today.
And we're in trouble now.
It was something to do with a parrot. Do you remember that joke? You were the gentleman
the parrot
told me
joke.
That joke.
Okay, I'll tell the parrot joke.
Mm-hmm.
And you support me if I fall flat. Well, go ahead. I'm sorry, you're going to tell her.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, it's about a magician and a parrot. Not only the parrot, but there's a magician involved with it. All right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they're both on a cruise ship, and the parrot happens to be the captain's parrot, right? So the magician's up on the makeshift stage in the cruise ship, and the parrot's down on his, what do they call those little platforms and teeter-totters or whatever? Right, there you go.
Perch. Yes, his little perch.
Yes. So the parrot's on his perch at BP, right? Perch parrot.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's funny already with alliteration, right? Okay, so we have a perch parrot who is in the sitting right next to the audience. So the magician's doing all these jokes. I mean, jokes or tricks, right? The tricks. Magicians do tricks. They don't do jokes, right? Are you there? Is anybody showing
I'm
up?
Here. I'm listening. Go ahead.
All right. So the magician is doing tricks, right? People have to know editorially. I can't tell word jokes and stuff very well. I'm off the cuff mostly. I'm an extemporaneous jokester. Anyway, so I'll do the best I can. Anyway, the magician is doing tricks, right? So after a week or two, the parrot is used to the tricks, right? So what happens is about the end of the second week, the parrot starts telling the tricks, telling where the rabbit came out of, was in his back pocket, and the cards are coming out of his sleeve, and the parrot keeps telling on the magician. The magician's getting very upset, right? So about the third day of this, where the parrot's revealing all his tricks, the magician takes out a gun and tries to shoot the parrot, right? But he misses. He misses the parrot. And then the bullet actually hits a gas line in the cruise ship, and of course, the ship explodes and blows up, right? I hope I get this line right. I don't have it written down. Anyway, so they're out there in the ocean.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
They're out in the ocean, and all the people on the cruise ship passed away, but the only ones that survived, ironically, was the magician and the parrot, right? So they're floating around on these wooden debris from the ship, and they've been out there a few hours, and finally the parrot goes, "All right, what's the trick? What did you do with the ship?" All right. You had to be
okay,
there. Appreciate
so,
it. You're supposed to laugh. If you laugh,
missed,
it means you start.
I'm laughing, but see, I was trying to tell you, you forgot a couple of important lines there. Okay, so sorry, everybody.
What?
Sorry,
what did I
folks.
Forget? What did I forget?
Okay, so what you forgot is you shouldn't be saying, I think it would be funnier if instead of saying the parrot is telling all the, is exposing all the tricks, the parrot, in the actual joke, the parrot says, you know, when he's pulling cards, you know, when he's coming up with extra cards, "Hey, I saw those cards come out of your sleeve." Okay, and then when he does, when he pulls the rabbit out of the hat, the parrot goes, "Hey, there's an extra rabbit in his pocket." Well, but
it's the same.
So yeah, but you gotta have the. I think you have to have the repartee of the parrot so that the parrot is telling all this stuff. And so I think it's a little funnier when the parrot says at the end, says, "Okay, where's the ship?"
Yeah, but you have to understand, everybody, we're supposed to be talking about the bankruptcy and whatnot. But
well,
over the course of many years, we turned it into a variety show. So I just want to let you know, the description of the show is completely false, right? It's a loss leader for a stand-up comedy act.
That's right.
So we do apologize for that. So please don't hang up. We'll get you some pertinent information eventually. Maybe. We only have a half hour, right?
Yeah, or
all
less.
Right, so much for trying to tell a joke in the first 30 seconds or 20 seconds. So that makes your audience intrigued, right? Riveted, that type of thing.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, so we're talking about a really lovely subject, the international bankruptcy of the Geneva Convention in 1930. All right? So that took place then, and what had happened was over a course of time, they didn't really have a fix for the bankruptcy. So it was sort of a dark age time, as I call it, and it really was truly a dark age. Because when you have no knowledge of fixing something, it's a state of confusion, all right? So the state of confusion lasted for about 84 years. So then when we discovered the fix, we started revealing more information because we couldn't reveal the information because we were cogitating on this problem, right? So you're retreating and thinking about fixing things, right? So we didn't really address the marketplace and all the problems of the courts and the banking and what have you. So we got even more submerged into the Iron Age, if you will. So that became an issue and a problem that now we're addressing some of the issues, just like the exemption accounts were started in 1910, but now they're starting to reveal some of it, but they're really not giving all the pertinent information that the Federal Reserve was trying to do something very good for the people, making them financially independent by trading on their birth certificate. So if any of you in the audience or the journeymen that come on each week are not aware of the fact of the provenance or the source of the beginnings of the exemption account, I'm probably the only one that really knows why they began that issue, because online they make it a very negative issue that the bankers trade the birth certificate. It sounds repugnant anyway, but the point is they make people very wealthy by putting the money in their Federal Reserve accounts under their Social Security number, but very few people are aware of that. See, they think it's something sinister the government set up, and in reality, not so, not true at all. It was a very benevolent program in the beginning, but was misconstrued and misinterpreted. So, you know, I've talked about that a lot. Do you have any questions about that, Gabriella, at this point?
No, I don't. I'm sorry about that. I know
that
I should.
Of course, once in a while, she will pay attention to me, everybody, occasionally. She'll pay attention when I put everybody to sleep most of the time. But the joke was stimulating, right?
I'm still thinking about the joke. I'm still thinking about the joke and how to improve the joke.
Okay, what's the trick? Where's the ship? Right? There you go.
Yeah.
See? So I got the punchline. Actually, I got the punchline right.
Yeah.
The rest of it wasn't so good. But I'm getting better at that joke. I like
bad.
That.
It wasn't
funny.
Bad. It just needs a slight bit of finessing. As you know,
yeah,
I only have one joke.
I need to finesse it, right?
As you know, I only have one joke that I tell, and I've been telling it for 30
are you,
years,
are you
so I'm pretty good
tell
at telling
joke?
It.
You're
no, I'm
gonna
not going to tell
more
that joke.
Of the show.
No, I'm not going to tell that joke.
See, but now you intrigue the audience by this joke. Okay, we promise next week to tell the joke. We won't, and that will keep
okay.
people wanting to be anxious. Yeah, coming on next week. The
no,
cereal
I'm not
going to
tell.
Yes,
I'm not going to tell that
will
joke.
Will the hero
online.
Be killed
no,
this
on
week?
Air.
What? Exactly.
I'm killing that joke.
So,
sorry.
We'll
sorry, everybody. You'll have to wonder forever about that joke.
No, no. We'll tell it
told.
Next week. We'll make a promise to tell it next week.
Okay.
Keep everybody
all right. You won't remember
the...
by then. One thing I can guarantee
yes,
is that
yes,
you will remember that. So.
That's not nice at all. God.
I'm sorry. I do apologize.
Oh, you do, and you really mean it, too. The tremendous remorse. You can feel it, can't you, audience?
Yeah.
Tremendous remorse.
Yes, that's true.
Anyway, where was
it?
Oh, I was talking about the exemption account. What?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was talking about the... Go ahead. Jeez. The interrupt collision, we call that. You see what I mean? Like when you're on phones, you interrupt and you collide in terms of who's going to go first, who's on first, who's on second. All right, so anyway, so we're talking about the exemption account. And that means that when they trade, the bank trade your birth certificate, they do what is known as rollovers and extensions in terms of trading it. So there's actually exponential monies involved with that whole bank trading in the secondary market, all right? So they do trade the birth certificate. And remember, it's a very good thing, all right? However, the problem was the misinterpretation had started in the very beginning of the trades, but in that process, they were paying a fee back to each one's Social Security account in the Federal Reserve Banks. There's 12 of them in America. The system is really international, but the banks happen to be in America on that particular landmass. All right, having said all that, everyone who has a Social Security card, if you look at that number, it's the same digits that they have in a bank account. You see what I mean? So it's actually a bank account number in your Social Security account, all right? And so in that account, when they do the bank trading, they'll pay a small fee, and it's small in comparison to what they make in terms of that particular ratio. They'll make a small fee, which is, believe it or not, $1 billion a year. Now, the way you can prove that, if people that are on the show tonight will actually Google IRS refund checks, and when you Google that, what it will bring up that particular screen, that menu, and then you click on images, and that will bring up the IRS refund checks pictures of them. So if you look at any one of those pictures, you'll see at the very top, they'll show a 10-digit figure. All right, most of the time they'll show 9 digits, but it will roll over to 10 digits, which means the maximum annually will be $1 billion paid into your account. And people get really excited about that because it's a substantial amount of money that would make people financially independent. That was the program initially in 1910, all right? So, and they weren't paying that amount at that time, but it gradually increased over cost of living and et cetera, all right, and inflation rates and blah, blah, blah. All right, so again, having said that, this money is people's money that have a Social Security card, but people are not generally aware of this, and also it can sound rather complex and also can sound like a bunch of hooey, okay? But we've proved it many times over because what they do is they go on the House Joint Resolution 33, I think, of 1933, when they, I might have the number, don't quote me on that, but that in the House Joint Resolution, they were talking about how they will pay dollar for dollar from these exemption accounts and debt, okay, debt. So we've been trying to create a withdrawal slip so that people can get it in the last couple of years. We haven't really been able to do that yet, but we're in the process of attempting to do that. But we have had success with people paying off their debts with the exemption accounts. And that becomes a little more complex. I've gone over this. I haven't really talked about this, Gabrielle, in several months. I remember we went over it in detail at one time because it's very important because people are missing out on this bevy of money. You know, they really are. So in terms of, it's really a belief factor. And then the misconstruence they have it online is they're trying to stop the birth certificate trading, which I say, okay, just shoot yourself in the foot. It's ridiculous to do that because they're doing you a big favor. But they're making mega dollars on their end of it, and then people say, well, I want the mega dollars. Well, it's ridiculous because you can't have trillions of dollars because it would be very much economic imbalance. It would be a real problem, all right? So do you understand that ratio, correct, Gabrielle? I'm just asking a question for feedback.
Yeah, So there's $1 billion on every person, correct?
That's correct. Say when they start trading it, what they do is they start out with your weight and goal. Whatever, say if you weigh 5 to 10 pounds, whatever the gold price is per pound of gold, they put that in terms. Because like now, what is, I can't remember what it is per ounce. You even know right now? I have to look it up.
I don't know. It's a few hundred, isn't it?
No, it's more than that, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I mean, you can look it up online.
It's quite a bit.
But what they do is that's how they – so let's say you start out with $10,000 and then that – and whenever they – it builds up, okay? They start trading the amount of money and then that builds up substantially because it's like a compounding in terms of the money. And people know that anecdote about the penny compounded after 30 days is many millions of dollars. So
automatically,
but
it automatically compounds at a certain rate of interest, the same rate of interest for everybody, right?
Yeah, it's more in line of the trading through margin. So more like marginal trading. For instance, on the stock market, to get 100% means you have to double your money. Like if a stock is $10, it'd have to go to 20 to get 100%. But in bank trading, it goes to 10,000%. Because they're trading paper, not really trading in cash. So they're trading face amount paper, and there's a lot bigger margins in that. You see what I mean? So in terms of compounding, it's even more so in reference to that, because it compounds like a doubling factor each time it goes through. So the mathematics in terms of it can go up exponentially. For instance, your birth certificate, it could be worth trillions of dollars at a certain age. See, so the problem is people say, well, I want the trillions of dollars of trading my certificate, but they're not really understanding the process. See, because if every single person got trillions of dollars, you'd have economic chaos. But the $1 billion a year, you can imagine, that's amazing in itself. That means that everybody could draw on $1 billion a year and we still wouldn't have economic chaos. That just shows you the surpluses and the manufacture that goes on in the world today. It's really substantial. See, people don't really understand because they don't really study it. They don't really understand the marketplaces.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great benevolence to allow people to have that money, but people are not aware of it. That's why periodically I try to explain it, that we try to do what is known as the A for B, and there's some groups online that talk about accepted for value. And in terms of it's more like a non-standard transaction. I was corrected this morning by one of my people in the UK. They said, well, the better phrase is called non-standard transaction. I would call it awkward transaction. So that would be more qualitative than quantitative. So we're calling it a non-standard transaction versus a smooth transaction. If you go to the baker to buy bread and you pay with a few dollars to get that bread, that's called a smooth transaction. There's no questioning the medium of exchange. Not going to question the money, okay? So they would question it if you had an A for B, like an accepted for value with a diagonal red printing on it and a blue money order at the bottom. It would be very confusing. So we call that a non-standard transaction, all right? So in reference to the non-standard transaction, that doesn't mean it's invalid. It's still an instrument that is actually money. It's really a piece of money. But in the world of exemption accounts right now, you have to create the instrument and then pay it to the facilitators of that exemption account. So it's a little more complex, but very valid. It's a valid transaction, non-standard, but still valid and legal to do that. See? So is that invoke any questions for you at this point at all?
Okay, I'd like to explain what's standard and what's non-standard again. Can you go through that again?
Yeah, standard would be if you – go ahead.
No, yeah, I just asked you to go through those distinctions.
Yeah, standard transaction, which I call on a qualitative side of a smooth transaction, it would be if you went to the baker to buy bread. I use analogy all the time. And you, whatever the loaf of bread costs, you pay $10 for the loaf of bread, and then they don't question the money that you're giving to them. Now, a non-standard one would be if I gave him an 8.5 by 11 paper that set the top that said accepted for value, and I handed him for the bread, he would probably not want to take that paper, correct?
Right.
Okay, but that doesn't mean this instrument's invalid. It just means it's a non-standard transaction. So is that clear now?
Yes.
Okay. So in other words, an A for B by Code of Federal Regulations suspended is still a accepted medium of exchange, but accepted only at law. Remember, I'm always talking about we have theory, law, and practice. So at practice, the legal instrument wouldn't be accepted. People say, well, isn't it lawful? Yes, but it's not a standard practice, so people are confused by it. See what I mean? So a lot of times when we try to get these A for Bs to the Federal Reserve, it's a non-standard transaction, and they're confused by it. But there has been success. I would say there's maybe a 20% success rate. And people say, well, that's not very high. Well, it, still, if you get it through, you got $1 billion in there to pay off debts, see, which is your money. Mm-hmm. And I've had a partner of mine that was able to pay $500,000 in taxes just a year ago through his exemption account. So we know it works, but it doesn't work a high percentage of the time because you got a non-standard transaction versus a standard transaction of passing dollars or pounds sterling or rupees or rubles or whatever in terms of buying whatever you need to buy in terms of purchasing power. See? So that's why the exemption account is sometimes condemned by people because they don't get it through immediately. And it takes several months to do it. But the discussion is that people get very excited about it because there's quite a bundle of money in that account that is actually theirs being paid to them as fees. So people get excited about it. And it's not an issue. It's not illegal, but it's just not well known. Okay, knowledge not well known is left in the background, the back burner mostly. You see what I mean? So is that clearer than it was before?
Yes, thank you.
Yes, and she's not telling me the truth, I can tell.
No, it's better. It's better because, I mean, it's so the non-standard transactions really, well, they're not going to happen on a consumer level, but they do happen sometimes in the financial area, right?
What do you mean, the non-standard in a consumer level versus a financial level?
They don't happen on a consumer level, right? But they do happen within, like, the bank trading arena, correct?
You mean exemption monies, right?
What?
Not
exemption monies, but non-standard transaction would bank trading be a non-standard transaction or not? That wouldn't count as one.
Well, bank trading, even primary, secondary, is not really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about end-user standard transactions.
Okay,
I'm not talking
right,
about, but it's actually a good question. There's nothing wrong with the question. It's just getting clarity in terms of categorization of practice. What practices are we talking about? This is standard practice of bank trading. They're not dealing in exemption monies anyway. They're dealing with the trading mechanism of the instrument that creates the exemption account. So it's a good question, but it was just not specifically what I was asking per se. But it's okay because we can go in. There's some depth there we took out, and there's some detail that was really good. So I appreciate the commentary. It's very important. See, so therefore, the bankers are dealing with the creation of the exemption account, but not the expectation of it. They can't use the consideration because they're the ones not getting the fees. They're making the benefits of the trade themselves. See, the bankers are making the benefits from the trade. The magnanimous monies and the governments and what have you are making all these trillions of dollars. Now, people get concerned about it, even upset, but I'm saying what I try to put into the marketplace for people to understand that because of the sophistication of bank trading, that people don't know it when they're born. You're not, infants have no idea what's going on there. They're doing them a great service by paying the small fee that makes things economically balanced in terms of $1 billion a year that would make everybody financially independent. They're doing them a favor, but they can't pay more than that. They can't pay you $1 trillion on their $100 trillion that they make because it would cause economic chaos. So this is measured by economists that are very adept at analyzing the market. See, so their adeptship allows for a certain percentage to be paid in a balanced equilibrium, but at the same time, allowing people to be completely financially independent. I think it's fantastic. I really do. And that's why when I explain it, people get excited about it. But again, right now it's a non-standard practice. It takes a little while to do it. But it's still there. It's existent. It's not, you can prove it, but like I said, through the IRS refund checks, you can look at it. You can see the number. You see what I mean? So it's not like generally agree in this world that it exists. It's not an argument that it doesn't exist, you see. Most people be skeptical, well, you know, prove to me it exists. Well, it's not, that doesn't count, you see. We don't even deal with that. because everybody has a social security number, which is your bank account, and a financial institution of one of the Federal Reserve accounts from A to J. There's 12 of them. And they each have a letter of the alphabet. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I mean, I know everyone in this country has social security numbers. Is social security worldwide?
In America, but the people in the UK have to apply for it because they have a different number. I forgot what it's an international assurance number. So what they have to do, they have a social security number, but they have to apply for it because they don't use it as standard practice in their daily life. So they have a, if you have a birth certificate, it's being traded by the banks, and there is a number in the Federal Reserve Bank that you have, it makes it a little more difficult. That's an awkward situation for the people outside of America. But Americans have their Social Security given to them initially when they apply for Social Security. See, so they don't have to go through another step to get it. But it's worthwhile. I mean, even if it's difficult, it's worthwhile to take that step because there's such a magnanimous amount of money there that people can have. Then people say, well, what happens if I haven't had it all these years? Well, they actually make a going concern. They actually make a company and they trade it as a ticker symbol. They trade on the stock market. See, a lot of these things are misconstrued because they're saying a birth certificate is traded on the stock market. Well, it's not, but the company that creates stock that the exemption monies go into, they trade that on the stock market. See, I mean, when you see how people get those things misconstrued, Gabriella, they don't have the knowledge like I do for the details to explain. They say, oh, they take the birth certificate and trade on the stock market. No, not directly. They put that in bank trading, see, I mean, which is entirely different than the stock market because the stock market doesn't pay as high a margin as bank trading. It's just not generally well known, and people say, well, can I get involved? Yeah, if you have about $1 trillion, you could. It depends on your portfolio in that arena. So not everybody can just jump into the trading. That's why they deny its existence. They can deny it all day long. It does exist, okay? And you heard it first from Grantham Taylor Hughes. All right. You get them laughing again about 2 minutes left in the show. See what I mean?
Oh, really?
So I hope I made that.
Quickly.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. What?
No, I went quickly.
I can't hear you cutting out with some kind of little glitch.
Very quickly, the show tonight. It went very quickly.
Oh, you think so? Okay.
I think so.
Yeah, are you absolutely sure? All right,
right there?
You must have left it.
No, I think I lost you for a minute.
Oh.
Okay. Or did you ask
No,
me
I
question?
Asked a question, but you, yes.
I didn't hear it. What was the question?
It's just a facetious comment question about, are you absolutely sure? Now you can't remember what I was talking about, which is fine. That's okay. I milked 30 seconds on that mistake.
Okay.
Yeah, see, what we do each week is we just blow off 30 minutes and waste everybody's time.
Well, you do get relevant information in that time, even though there's a lot of jocular activity happening.
But
you do get some relevant information. And at
you
the
say
same
elephant
time,
or
so.
Relevant? Elephant or relevant?
Relevant.
Okay. Oh, relevant. That means I reveal some things, right? Ooh,
sometimes
okay.
You reveal things, yes, that's true.
Sometimes, right? Okay, so we're getting down to the last minute of the show, and this is where I do my housekeeping to thank you each week for coming on the show. Thank you, Gabrielle. I appreciate your participation.
You're quite welcome. Thanks for the opportunity, Grantham.
Well, it's my pleasure indeed. So, you see, we got rid of about 20 seconds with that.
I'm sure that nobody's going to condemn you if you end the show 5 or 10 seconds early.
Well, I guess not. I understand that completely. All right, so let me thank the journeymen that come on each week and the new people that come on each week. I really appreciate your participation as well. It's a pleasure and honor to do this show each week. I hope we gave you some information that, as Gabriella said, relevant. This is Grantham Taylor Hughes for my show. See you next week, and goodbye for now.